possible now that you're here. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we reverently approach thy throne of mercy tonight, believing, Lord, that you are here. And being here, Lord, in the midst of a storm, there is peace. And knowing, Father, that the storm has just begun, and knowing that it moves from a squeeze into tribulation, and yet we will not be here for that time. But, Father, we realize, Lord, that your bride will be here sometime during the squeeze, but yet your prophet said that it is at that time that the third pole will come into manifestation. Lord, we know that it has been acknowledged. We know that it has been manifested. Yet we know that we must wait until that time. And so, Lord, we know that these things, as your prophet said, are out of our hands anyway. They're in your hands, for you are the sovereign one. And even when people thought that Brother Branham would speak the word and bring forth the resurrection, he said, well, that's a nice thought, but you must understand that all these things were done sovereignly. He told me what to do, and I did it. And so, Lord, unless you build the house, they that build would build in vain. So help us not to be building except for, as Paul said, according to the master planner. And Father, that we might not build in vain. And so, Lord, we just commit this service to thee. We pray that you'd bless it. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'd like to pick up at paragraph 92 of the spoken word as the original seed and read through paragraph 95. As we begin, Brother Branham says, see where it's at, see? That's why I believe the word, it's a seed. And if the rain falls upon the seed, it'll bring forth of its kind. Now, the thing you have to understand is that the rain that falls on the seed must bring forth after its kind. So it depends on what seed is in here, is what's going to be produced. So we must never forget then that the rain is the doctrine. And when a person is exposed to the doctrine of Christ, it will manifest who and what that seed is that was in them from the beginning. In other words, it'll manifest the source, all right, the life of the source. Because, let's face it, he that hath the doctrine of Christ hath life. And if you have life, that's because you have or possess the doctrine of Christ. In other words, he that is of such a nature as to be able to receive Christ, to them gave he power, to them gave he exousia, an ability to make a right decision. To become, in other words, to become what? To become sons of God. Because, let's face it, he that is of such a nature as to be able to receive him, he's given an ability to make a right decision, to become what he already is. Because John said, beloved, now are we sons of God, yet it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. So now, so what I'd like to look at tonight is the what makes manifest is light. Because Brother Branham says, see where it's at. See, that's why I believe that the word, it's a seed. And if the rain falls upon the seed, it'll bring forth of its kind. Now, from Ephesians 5 and verse 13, Paul says, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So it's not just any light will do. In fact, in Malachi, the first chapter, he says, let me just read from from the NIV translation. He said, I would that you would shut the doors for naught, and not light useless fires upon mine altar. In other words, God doesn't want a revolving door in the church where people bring in their own light. He wants to be the light. He is the light. Let's face it. All right? The NIV translation of 5:13 says, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, in Christ will shine upon you. And the Weymouth translation, basically the same thing, says, but everything can be tested by the light, and thus be shown in its true colors, for whatever shines of itself is light. Now the problem is this, that many have come into the message and still never have seen the light of life, because of the blind condition, or the blindness of their heart. In other words, people, We're in Laodicea, all right? And one of the attributes in Laodicea is that the people are blind, miserable, naked, and don't even know it. So one of those attributes is they're blind, all right? What's blinding them? Materialism, things of the world, cares of the world. They're so focused on their daily jobs, they're so focused on just living, that they don't know when life comes to really be able to live. What we see then is because of the blindness of their condition, when the light does strike, they're so focused on self, they miss the light. Now, in Galatians 3:23 it says, but before faith came, in other words, before revelation came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith. Shut up unto the revelation, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith or by the revelation. But after that faith, after that revelation has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now what's he saying? He's saying that because of the condition of the church, legalism, focused on the person, you know, not the attributes, not the personality, not the inside. Focus on the outside. Because you're so in bondage, focus to, you know, what you can see, taste, feel, smell, hear. All right? That you don't perceive the light that has come. Let me just read that again. Because he says, everything can be tested by the light and thus shown in its true colors, for whatsoever shines of itself is light. And as I said, the problem of it is in this message, people come into the message and still never have seen the light of life because of their blind condition or the blindness of their heart. They come into the message, but before the voice of God could direct them into the glorious light of the doctrine of Christ, they found themselves in a church that took what light that they had in those tapes and they buried it under legalism and works programs. They lost sight of the true meaning of the message, which is grace, grace unto it. And they got burdened down. They basically put blinders on their eyes. And they couldn't see no longer. And the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 3:23, now listen, but before faith came, and faith is revelation. So before revelation came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith. In other words, we were blinded from the revelation, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified or set free. Or as Brother Bram said, you never did it in the beginning. You see? Now, if you got your eyes in the flesh, you say, but I did do it. You see? And your eyes are looking at the wrong thing. Your eyes are not looking at the word that says you didn't do it. You understand? You know, the Bible says, blessed is he that is not, blessed is he in whom sin is not imputed. All right? So you did do it in the flesh, but that gene seed never had nothing to do with it. And that's a thing that's redeemed. All right, now notice Paul says in Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God. Now notice, the darkening of their mind alienates them from the life. You shut the light off and the plant just won't grow. You can put seeds in storage. Put them in the basement. Shut out all the lights. Put them in a room where there is no light. They'll never harvest. They'll never manifest. But you bring them out in the light. Bring them out a little bit of water. Watch what takes place. You see? So having their understanding darkened. Now, you have to think in your mind. Okay, what does Paul say? Having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God. So this darkening of their understanding alienates them from the life. Now, how are they alienated from the life of God? Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, of their understanding. Because their understanding was so darkened that when the doctrine of Christ was brought forth and a prophet said, I'm not oneness and I'm not Trinitarian, but it's always the middle of the road. They became so darkened in their understanding that they say, oh, but he is oneness, just a different type of oneness. Like one man said, well, you see, we don't believe any different from the from the United Pentecostals, except for we got a vindicated prophet that told us what we believe. Well, good for you. I'm sorry, this message is not a message of a further light on the United Pentecostal Church. It's completely different. They rejected this. In fact, you talk to them and they'll say Brother Branham's a Trinitarian. They won't say he believes in God like one God like they believe one God, because he doesn't. He said God is not one like your fingers one. He can't be his own father. Well, anyway. But that's what the Apostle John said in John 3:19. Notice the heart, meaning the understanding. So we see it is the blindness of their understanding that causes them to shut out the light, and thus they remain in darkness. That's what John said in 3:19. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, shown for what they are. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought or had their source in God. So see the principle that no matter what seed is in there, it will come to life when the light strikes it. But for people to remain in the message for 20 years and not manifest what seed they are shows that they have shut out the light. And that ought to tell you right there what seed they are. Although it doesn't always necessarily, because let's face it, it's not sometimes they shutting out the light, but the system of organizational Nicolaitanism that they're sitting under, they're afraid to take a peek at the light. In other words, they're in bondage, and so they close up. You know, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. You know, they get so bound in this legalistic atmosphere that they're afraid to read something that might be not given the imprimatur from the pulpit. Afraid to listen to something. They might not have been blessed by their pope in the pulpit. You see? But that ought to tell you right there. Because everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Neither will come to the light, lest his deed should be reproved, exposed. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, part 2, 1962, paragraph 11, if there's seed there, it'll come to life as soon as the light strikes it. Doesn't take 20 years. Doesn't take 30 years. He says, you just have to sow light. That's all. And he is the evening light. We know that, his word. So the light of his glorious presence ought to bring any seed into manifestation. Well, then why do they kick against the pricks? Because the blindness of their heart. But praise be to God, if you're elect seed, you may kick against the pricks like Paul did. But see, Paul had no light. But when he met the light, look what happened to him. You see? Hallelujah. Now back to paragraph 92. Now, what's the matter with these revivals? What do? Make a million more in 44? Baptists, Presbyterians, and whatever more, Pentecostals? But where is that manifestation of the works of Jesus Christ? He said, I do nothing till my Father shows me first. Where is that kind of a seed coming from? The Holy Spirit will water and bring forth that seed. It's the water to the seed. If the seed's been planted, that's exactly what the water's for. If the water falls on you and you say, bless God, let me tell you something, preacher. I'm so-and-so and I don't need to believe in that kind of stuff. You're the denominational seed. You're just an old hypocrite to start with. That's what kind of seed was planted. So you see how it doesn't matter what seed's in there. When the light strikes, it'll manifest what's in there. So I want you to notice that Brother Branham is saying here that when the light strikes what seed you are, and that seed is watered by the washing of water by the word, then it has to express what kind of seed it really is in there. That's why John says, again, he says, but he that is, let me just go back and read it again. said, Everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God, that they had their source in God. In other words, when you do hear the light, you might have been in the message for 20 years, but because of the preachers you were sitting under, or that influence you're sitting under, there was no light shining on that seed. Glory to God, God sent a prophet. Okay, so what? What did he say? What's it all about? You see? But glory to God, he sent a prophet. That's fine. I'm glad God sent a prophet. But what did he say? Well, glory to God, he sent a prophet. And that's as far as they get. And they don't grow. They don't become sons of God. They don't manifest Son of God's seed, as Brother Branham said. The Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God's seed. You see? So I want you to notice what Brother Branham is saying here, that when the light strikes what seed you are, and that seed is watered by the washing of water by the Word, then it has to express what kind of seed is really there, or really in there. It used to bother me, you know, to see people sit in the message for 20, some 30 years or more and not move forward in any way. And then when that light of the presence of God or the Godhead was shown unto them, they just folded up like a dry leaf and they withered away. And I used to wonder how this could happen. But when you realize that they never had the seed of God in them to begin with, they had another seed. And every seed has to manifest what it is when it is exposed to the light. You notice fungus, which is you think of fungus as being an evil thing because it's really not something that can take direct light. But fungus sits on the north side of the tree. It has to live off the life of someone who can take the light directly. You see? So in those three kind of believers, you have those people that they just can't take the light directly. They can't take the presence of God. They can't take knowing that there's a Son of God and sons of God. But sure, they sure love hanging on the prophet. You see? Hanging on that tree. And let's face it, we're all likened to trees planted by the river of life. That's Psalm 1. Now, for a man that can turn on a light, paragraph 74, Brother Brown said, all life. So life is only by the Word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the Word of God made manifest. As long as it is just in the book like this, it still can be questioned. But when it's made manifest, when you see the product of what it spoke of being manifested, then that is light on the Word. See, that's what brings. The Word said so. And then when it comes to pass, that is life in light. Light bringing life. Light brings life. Plant the wheat out here. You put it in a basement, cover it all over, and it'll never bring forth anything because it can't. There's no light there. But as soon as light strikes it, then it'll bring forth life if it's a germatized seed. That's the same thing it is in the Word. See, the Word of God. And when the light strikes it, it brings the Word to life again. Every age has always been that. Now, it's important for us to understand that because Brother Branham said Moses was the light for his hour. Paul was the light for his hour. You see? Jeremiah, the light for his hour. Elijah, the light for his hour. All of God's seed, prophets, were the light. They were the manifested word for that hour. But we also have a manifested word in this hour that is manifested sons of God. And yet, if we're going to manifest as the Son of God, we don't say anything but what he said. We don't do anything but what he shows us in his word to do. We have no will but his will. No doctrine but his doctrine. You see? But when you can see that coming to pass, because you can see it in here, in you. Now, what's that? That's the light is striking the seed, bringing it to manifestation, showing that it's light on life, or light bringing forth life. You see? Let me just read that again. All life. So life is only by the Word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the Word of God made manifest. As long as it is just in this book like this, it still can be questioned. But when it is made manifest, when you see the product of what it spoke of being manifested, then that is light on the Word. Why? Because a seed, once the light strikes it, begins to manifest what it is. When you see that manifestation, you're seeing light. In fact, what's interesting is you look at plants If anybody's seen that raw food commercials and things, not commercials, but, you know, they're on the internet, they have these, you know, they show you the Russians have been studying life using certain kind of photography, and you can look at plants. And when the plant is very full of life and vivacious, everything, there's like an aura. They take these pictures and they're like a glow coming from the plant. But when they crop that thing off, they kill it, the glow goes away. Now they've taken pictures in the last few weeks of people at the point of death. And when the life goes out of the body, out comes lights. They said as many as four lights, which is interesting because that's probably, like Brother Branham said, you know, zero to, you know, from birth to 25, you're on your first four lights. Then you lose one of those at about 25. And then from at 50, you lose a second one. At 75, you lose a third. And so you're from 75 to whatever age you live to be, you're on your fourth or your last light. And it's interesting that the Russians now have shown this, you know, with their cameras. Well, Brother Branham's saying the same thing. He said, life comes only by the Word of God made manifest. And he says, as long as it's just in the book, it still can be questioned. But when it's made manifest, then you see the product of what it being spoke of being manifested. Then that is light on the Word. That's what brings. The word says so. And then when it comes to pass, that is life in light. Light bringing life. Light brings life. Plant the wheat out here, you put it in the basement, cover it all over, it'll never bring forth anything because it can't, there's no light there. But as soon as light strikes it, then it'll bring forth life if it's a germatized seed. So it can sit in the message for 20 years, 30 years, and you don't see any change. Bless God, God sent a prophet. Did you know, brother? God sent a prophet in this hour. But now you bring the light of the glorious gospel and you begin to reflect what this message is all about. And it'll either turn them into a son of God and manifest them as a son of God, or they'll turn to just God sent a prophet. Like the turtle. Bless God. God sent a prophet. Or Brother Branham, like he'd say here, hee-haw, hee-haw. Days, miracles past. Days, miracles past. You see, no life. Okay, now for man can turn on the light, paragraph 80, Brother Branham said, God's Word comes only by the Bible. God's Bible is the printed form of the Son of God. It's interesting, isn't it? God's Bible is the printed form of the Son of God. Well, listen, aren't we sons of God? And that Bible is a printed form of you and I. Now, we just have it with a measure, but he had it without measure. But we still got it with a measure. So the same life, if I got just... one cell, and he's got 10 cells, or he's got all cells, I still got one cell just like he's got. You see? Because, let's face it, that whole body, he might have all the cells, right? But if you have just one of the cells, when that word upon word upon word, when the cell multiplies, it becomes two, but it's not two uniquely different cells. They're the same cell, just they become two, then those two become four, the four become eight. That's how it grows. So it doesn't matter if you got one. Someday you'll have 10. You understand? We're talking about measure. All right? As you continue to lay in the presence of the Son and ripen and become more manifested Son of God every day, you go from 2 to 4 to 8 to 16 to 32. You start increasing in measure. Hallelujah. I like that. You have to. If the law of life says every seed after its kind, and that's how the life is produced, is cell duplicates itself, then you are nothing but a duplication of this the uniquely born one who went into the ground, that kernel of corn went into the ground, brings forth many. You see, the life that was in him was released back upon the church, and it's going to bring duplicates. I like that. Now, Brother Brown said, God's Word can only come by the Bible. God's Bible is the printed form of the Son of God because the Bible said that it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's God revealing himself through Christ, and Christ is the Word. And it takes the light of God to shine upon that Word to vindicate it, to prove that God still speaks life, eternal life. He speaks. The natural light brings the life. Life only comes by the light, the Word made manifest or made flesh. I like that because, listen, when Brother Branham just said what God told him to say, Because God said, where do you want it, William Branham? He said, well, I want it right there. Then speak it. Moses, speak and go forward. So he spoke the word. Right? The spoken word is what? The original seed. And he spoke the word, and what came forth? Life. Squirrels. Spoke the word another time. What happened with Hattie Wright's boys? Life. Spoke the word to a little fish. What happened to that fish? Life. Why? Because that was the light for the hour. Light brings life. We also see in John 1 and 1. Well, let me just go back. So we're dealing with this light that came at the time of the birth of Jesus. And man had been looking for the Messiah to come. And when the light came, it pointed the people to the portion of God's word which was to be manifested in that hour. And the light then brought forth into manifestation that portion of the word. As we read in what Paul said in Ephesians 5 and 13, that all things are reproved, are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And this making manifest is the word phaneru, which means to be revealed in one's true character. And the word reproved, that is used here, is a word which means to become exposed. And so we see that it takes light to see and to understand. That is why we are called children of the light, because we have all been birthed, or we have all received our new birth by this same light, because light brings life. Now in John 1 and 1, that God is the Word, and out of God came also the Word, which was a carrier of life. And this life was also the first light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Brother Bram said, when the Son of God came forth, he said, that Logos that came out of God, he said, that was a part of God. So it wasn't God, you know, becoming a son. It was a son coming forth out of the bosom of the Father. Now, Brother Bram said in a sermon, a man that can turn on the light, again, paragraph 36, so life is only by the Word of God made manifest. Life comes only by the Word of God made manifest. As long as it's just in the book, as I read before, it still can be questioned. But when it's made manifest, then you see the product of what it is being spoken or manifested. Then that is light on the Word. That's what brings. The Word says so. And then when it comes to pass, that is life in light, light bringing life. All right? So, again, from paragraph down here, same sermon, he says, there's nothing can give you life but the spoken word of God. Life only comes by light. So we see that the manifesting of himself to us brings revelation to us of himself. For God interprets his own word by bringing it to pass. But even more importantly than that is the fact that if we have this great promise that when he shall manifest in his true character, so shall we manifest in our true character. That's 1 John 3. Beloved, now are we sons of God, but it doth not yet appear, phaneru, what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, when he shall phaneru, we shall be like him, for we will see him as he is. And so our seeing him as he is, we become as we are. You see? That is why I believe that if the Word of God is being truly presented in an open and unhidden manner, you cannot hide if you tried. And when that Word is presented in such a way, you will manifest who you are, and you will make known the counsels of your heart, and you will not escape it, for as surely as light makes manifest in the natural what life is in the seed, so too the light of the glorious presence coming from forth from a vessel that is perfectly reflecting that light will most assuredly cause all that sit under that ministry or come in contact with it to become exposed as to just what they are, who they are. Either you're son of God or you're not. You see, Brother Bram said that his prophets were reflectors. Well, you know, if you get the mirror lined up perfectly, it goes into infinity. I tried that one time. I couldn't get it to infinity, but I got it to a couple hundred. You know, I was at one of these dressing places. You know, they have the mirrors that were three angles. I turned it, two of them facing just like this, tried to get them just as perfectly matched up as I could, and there was hundreds of both directions, just eternal, whichever direction you looked in. If you can get a perfect lineup, and if we can perfectly line up with God's Word, there's eternity right there. Hallelujah. From and those who do not like What they see in themselves will not stay around to receive more exposing of themselves. You see? That's what John says in John 3:21. They won't come to the light unless their deeds be reproved. Now, from deceived church by the world, Brother Branham said, but as Israel was bound by their kings. Now, notice this word bound. You know, binding, you know, kind of constrains you. Well, if we're truly free in Christ, there are no constraints. Brother Branham said, the only constraint is love. Because I love him. I want to please him. I don't want to hurt him in any way. You see? So, but as Israel was bound by their kings, men that they put up, you know, above them, that they could not follow the real king, and the real king, when he came, they didn't recognize him. So is it today, O Lord. The King of glory has appeared in the form of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, they don't know it. They don't recognize it. They're so organized so tight that they do not understand it because it's not in their organization. Lord, this is the work of the devil that's done this to the people. What is it? Getting their eye on a false king. You see? So whenever you have a church, and you know, I don't say this just to be chewing my lips here, but when you have a church where the people are just looking to the pastor, looking to the man, there's something wrong there. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we're following Christ. Moses, they followed Moses as Moses followed the pillar of fire. But see, a lot of people got their eyes on Moses. They did, and they got in a lot of trouble for it too. Can you imagine the people wanting to stone the man? Their eyes are so much on the man. He did a few things they didn't like. But if they only just said, you know, God's sovereign. This is a humble servant of God. He's only doing what he's told to do. He's not coming up with these rules and regulations because, you know, he wants to put us in bondage. You know, there's a need to have some discipline. There's a need to have standards. There's a need to, you know, if we're going to make it, there's a need to have communication lines and, you know, lines of communication and a lot of things. You know, when you got 2 million people, you know, can't just everybody just kind of, well, oh, we want to go this way, Moses. Well, we want to go this way, Moses. Moses, the pillar of fire is going that way. Let's go. You see? From where is he, King of the Jews? Brother Branham said, yet in all of our theology and our great churches and so forth today, when the great light of God has begun to shine, the church knows nothing about it. And I'll tell you why. Because a lot of people preach it as theology. It's not a theology. God can care less about your theology. Well, he can care a little bit. But God cares less about your theology, really. It is the light reflecting in you. Are you reflecting the life? You see? Because if it's just a theology, the devil's got theology. You see? And he trembles. He believes one God, but he trembles. From Hebrews chapter 5, part 5, or 5 and 5, part 1, paragraph 170, Brother Ramsey said, friends, let's go on to perfection. We are without excuse today. We have no excuse at all. The God of heaven has appeared in these last days and is doing the very thing that he said he would do when he was here before, when he was on earth. He's proved it. As we're coming through this Bible, and you class know this, that we have taken miracle by miracle and sign by sign and wonder by wonder that he did with the children in the wilderness, the things, the signs that he did, the things that he done when he was here on earth, manifested in the flesh, and the very same things are taking place today right here among us. Here's the word to vindicate it. Here's the thing to say it's right, to make it right. Here's the Spirit of God to do the same thing. So we are without excuse. And we are. Now back to our text from the spoken word is the original seed. We're going to pick up at paragraph 93. Brother Ram says, don't misunderstand me. I love you, honey. I'm trying to get this to you, see? I will. I'll stop at it when I finish today. I'll let it go. But I want you to know one time what's right. And the reason that I believe what I believe. I believe the devil's deceived you. Frankly, I know he has. According to God's word, it can't fail. He's deceived you. Yes, sir. That's why I preach those things the way I do. Because God's word said it. Oh, say, well, Brother Branham, this is a different day. It's the same word, though. They got some wheat out of the garner. from back there that was in the time of Joseph, and they put it and planted it here a couple years ago. Did you see that in the magazine? And it produced a crop of wheat. It was still wheat. That's the reason. The only thing it needed was just some water. So that predestinated gene of God has been sitting in people. Could be 20, 30 years before the light strikes it. But when the light does strike it, it'll produce what it was meant to produce. And if they've been hanging around the message for 20, 30 years, and that seed of God is not in there, when the light strikes it, it'll also produce that it's not seed of God. It's just a religious church spirit. As Brother Branham said, the two spirits are so close. You got the church spirit on the church people, and you got the Holy Spirit in sons and daughters of God. Now, paragraph 94, he says, God's word just the same as it was when he spoke it back yonder thousands of years ago. The only thing it needs is water. Why don't we get a crop? Because we got the wrong kind of seed in there. Wow. Why don't we see the Alpha repeated in Omega? Well, it is repeating. But remember this, many more are the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. Is it not ironic that we have 2 million people in the message today? 2 million left Egypt. You see, the first Exodus, the last Exodus, the same. 3,000 came out of Judaism on the day of Pentecost, but how many of them went back right in? Went right back in. 8 were left. In fact, the church at Jerusalem became absolutely nothing by the end of the first church age, dispersed amongst the nations. But he says the only thing it needs water. Why don't we get a crop? Because it's got the wrong kind of a seed in there. How many of you would all like to change your letter? Twofold child more of hell than you was when you started. How many of you was Methodist, would like to become Baptist? You Baptists like to become Pentecostals. Just bring your membership over here. Oh, for goodness sake. Tommy rot, trash, trash of the devil. There's no life in it at all. It's hybrid, hypocritical, dead, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Jesus said, every plant that my heavenly Father hasn't planted will be rooted up. Denomination or whatever it is, it'll be rooted up. God's word alone will stand. Right. That's what he says. Every man's word will be alive, but mine will be the truth. In 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 1 we read, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. That means we do not allow ourselves to give up. If you are a true son, you will get back up when you fall. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We're not sneaky. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, in the presence of God. And if you're not aware of his presence, you'll not walk as you should be walking, because how can you walk in the light as he is in the light if you're not in the light? And if you don't believe there's a light, you see? And if you're not aware he's here, how are you going to walk with him? But if our gospel be hid, here's the key, it's hid to them that are lost. So the question is, what good will light do for a blind man? When you get older, your eyes seem to need more light to be able to see. I need reading glasses unless I'm in the sunlight. Well, then what about those who are older in the Lord? You need even more light than you had yesterday to see the same thing. And what is easier to get lost in, light or darkness? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Didn't blind their eyes, blinded their minds. Notice the mind is what is blinded. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So if they are in the message or even out of the message and cannot see what the message is, then they are blinded. That is all there is to it. And it is not God that blinds, but the God of this evil age, which is Satan. And how do they become blind? By staring at the light instead of focusing on what the light is manifesting. Catch that. Remember, the woman saw the light over Brother Branham, and she was a palm reader. She saw the light. She was focused on the light, but she didn't see what the light was manifesting. You see? So how do they become blind? Staring at the light instead of focusing on what the light is manifesting. Just like the blind man in India. He focused or he stared at the light for too long and he became blinded by it. And if you drive into the light, it is blinding to you. But if you are in the light and walking in it, as he is also in it, it is light to your path, and it will illuminate everything around you. And everything that you understand is because you have light, and yet the reason the people do not understand is because they have rejected the light. Now, if I were to turn the lights off in this building, it's getting dark enough outside right now. And I know because I come home many mornings at 2 o'clock in the morning from my study, and the only light I have on is in my study. Everything's off. And I have to open my door and see a path, and then when I hit the light, I walk straight for that path. But I got my hand out because I don't want to hit that, and I don't want to hit that. You can't see in the dark. What makes manifest is light. Very easy for me to run from here to there, although it's a sanctuary, I wouldn't run in it. But to have a quick line with no obstacles in the way. But you turn out the light, and if you don't, if you turn around and lose your bearing, you're going to hit chairs on the way out of here. You see? And I know, because I have. I get about 3-4 steps and I hit, and I have to feel my way to the edge. Then I know if I get to the edge, I can see a little bit of light coming through the window outside over there. And I can get out. But the principal property of light is that it scatters darkness from its presence. And once darkness has been scattered, then life can come forth. Because in order for the seed or any seed to manifest what it is, it needs light. You keep any seed out of the light and it'll not germinate. They found some back years ago and they placed it in the garner in the times of Joseph. What we read Brother Branham here. And the garner or silos that he had erected kept out the light. And those seeds stayed in seed form for all those thousands of years. But when exposed to the light, they were able to germinate. That's the law of life and the law of light, which brings life. That's what Brother Branham said in paragraph 93. He said they got some wheat out of the garner from back there. In the time of Joseph, and put it and planted it here a couple years ago. Did you see that in the magazine? And it produced a crop of wheat. It was still wheat seeds. That's the reason. The only thing it needed was just some water. So we see in 1 John 1:1 in closing, that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, which our hands have handled, of the word of life, the seed of life, because the word is the seed. Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall phaneroo, then shall we also phaneroo with him in glory, in the same opinion, values, and judgment. 2 Timothy 1:10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In other words, it manifested, now we've got light upon it. See, as Brother Brown said, this word here is word. It's the same thing that was Jesus in Jesus, but the fact is that in him it was manifested, so we have the interpretation of what's here. All right? In Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So they took an alternative route. He won't produce the same thing. Jeremiah 17:13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So you see, they only have forsaken the light, not only the light, but they've forsaken the water. And it takes water and light. Because the very first time God spoke, he said, let there be light. Second time he spoke, he said, let there be waters divided, waters divided from above, from below. Third time he spoke, he said, let every seed bring forth after its kind. Light, water, seed. He had to have light and water before he could bring the seed, or the seed could not manifest. You see? All things are maintained by him, the Bible says. Okay. Now, in closing, Brother Ram says, from Shalom, the hour is upon us. Darkness, gross darkness on the people now. That's what it is. What does it all mean? Where are we standing? What hour are we in? How close are we to the coming? Why, you say, when all they have a revival, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good will to give you the kingdom. All right. What does it mean? God has begun to separate the light from the darkness. See, pressing it behind it. Like he did in the beginning to show the dawn of the new day. The church ages are fading out. Pardon me. The church ages are fading out. God is pressing the darkness into a place. It has to do it to fade out the church organization, fade out the world. The world is covering the thing over, and the worldlyism has taken the whole thing. Then isn't God right? By worldly things and worldly dressing and worldly acting and worldly living, it's the world. You are not of the world, little children. You are of heaven. This is not your home. Why should I look? Why should I look to us older people? Try to look back and get young again. We can't do that. But we're looking forward, not looking back. Looking here, what has been, and we want to know what's going to be, and we're looking for that hour, pressing for it. And from Shalom again, he says, that's him among us. His word being identified, Shalom. The great day is fixing to break. When the morning breaks eternal light, bright and fair. When his chosen ones are gathered to their homes beyond the sky. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Our names are written in his book. We'll be there. Shalom. Good morning. Peace be unto you. The darkness is separating itself from the light. God caused it. The lights are doing it. See, the light's pressing itself in such a way until the darkness has to congregate together. They'd had a chance to accept it and they wouldn't do it. So it condensed itself. And they do that by putting the church together in the council of churches and uniting it with the pagan darkness. When they so firmly disagree with one another, but yet they had to go together to make the night come upon the people. And it has come. And it's interesting he says this because look at the pagan worship that goes on in that with that Moloch worship out in that grove there. What do they call that grove, John? Bohemian Grove, yes. Such a shame on the name Bohemian. You know, Bohemian Grove. And they got this huge statue of Moloch and they have fake, you know, human sacrifice and stuff. And these are all the leaders. I mean, the leaders of this nation that goes back, I don't know how many years that the history of that thing is, but they know 10 years in advance who's going to be president. Or they have so many from each party that they know, well, they're grooming to run for president, and they only give you a couple people, one in each party. And Brother Branham says, it's putting the church together in the council of churches and uniting it with pagan darkness. When they so firmly disagree with one another, but yet they had to go together to make the night come upon the people. And you watch what's happening. Finally, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10. But is now made manifest by the epiphania, the appearing, the brightness shining forth of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Why? Because he is the manifestation of what God's word means. All right. 2 Timothy 4 and 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of right wiseness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of you that love his appearing, his epiphania, his brightness, his shining forth. Why? Because they that are of the light come to the light. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we recognize that the light, as your prophet said, is the word in its manifested form. Then if they that are of the light come to the light, then they that are of you, your life, will come to that manifested word. So we see the manifestation of your presence among us in this hour, and we've come to it, Father, and we ask you, Father, where we might be contrary in our thinking in any fashion or form, please reveal it to us, Lord. And please, Lord, not just reveal it to us, but hammer us until we let go of that thing. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine to you. And give thee peace forever. bless you all. And Sunday service, 3 o'clock this week. And then Monday, my wife and I will be leaving for Czechoslovakia and Poland. And we'll be gone until the 24th, which will be 10 days. And so we'll have a film here for you for the following Sunday. Brother Michael won't be here either. He'll be in Poland with us. So Brother Ron will be leading songs, and then we'll have the film testimony. Be Brother Billy Paul, the latest one we have. All right, God bless you. Is there? Yeah, and there won't be any Wednesday night service. So, all right, God bless you all. Die out to self. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to apply the token. That the very life, and your prophet said, if we have the entire Word of God seed in us, it'll produce the entire Word of God in us when the light strikes us. Now my question, Father, is have we received the doctrine of Christ? Do we understand the difference between you and your Son? Do we understand that we are sons? Then if we are sons and the Son of God's seed has been planted in us, will it produce Son of God? And the truth of the matter is that we do nothing but what you show us to do. And if you showed us by a vindicated prophet to get rid of those TV sets and we don't do it, then we're hearing but we're not recognizing and we're not acting upon your word. So we just commit it unto thee in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You dress modestly. What's happening? The body's being conformed to the Word of God. You see? It's just that simple. The Son can do nothing but what He sees the Father do. The Son can say nothing but what the Father tells Him to say. I have no doctrine but the Father's who sent me. And I didn't come to do my will. That's the hardest one for us. I didn't come to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. So no matter what Son of God we are, no matter what Son of God we look at, every seed must come forth in the likeness of the original seed. And if we are Son of God's seed, then we will produce Son of God results. Therefore, we see the trail of adoption and the life of sons who God used to manifest Himself to the world throughout the ages. We saw it in Moses. We saw it in Joseph. We saw it in David and Daniel and Isaiah and in Jesus and Paul and Luther and Wesley and William Branham. And will it be in you? That's the question tonight. God said He would have adopted sons, and He predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. So we see there's a pattern, which is the firstborn son to be conformed to, but there's a process getting us there. All that He foreknew, He has called. Have you heard His calling? Have you heard the shout, the message? God Himself come down to let you know you're a son. All that He's called, He has justified. And how are you justified? We are justified by faith, by revelation. And so when I step into that call, I say, God, I know I'm a son. What would you have your servant to do? What would you have your son to do? Joseph said, Daddy, what would you have your son to do? And he said, you know, your brothers are down at Shechem. And he said, I want you to go down to Shechem and check up on your brothers. Now, why would the 17-year-old, the youngest of them, why would Dad give him the authority to go check up on his brothers because he was an obedient son in the stature of his daddy. He loved his daddy. He wanted to please his daddy. The others didn't. Not only check up on your brothers, but make sure the sheep are okay. Now he's got 11 brothers that were older than he was, but why would he have to check up to make sure the sheep were okay? Because daddy didn't trust that maybe some of the sheep were neglected while the boys were partying. Or maybe some of the sheep were sold off so they'd have a little few extra bucks for their alcohol and their party habits. But here's a son I can trust. Here's the one I put my colored garment on to show him. He's the guy that has a heart like my heart. Can God put his garment, the robe of his word, on you? Can you say, this is my beloved son in whom I am pleased to express myself through? Hear ye him. So you can see, or can you see your calling? Have you heard your calling? Has he revealed to you your role in the family? Have you stepped into your role? Have you seen the rejection that must come to bring you into a further defining of your role? Because in every case, the brethren always rejected the one who could see their role. God called each one of them. Joseph, Moses, Paul, all the way down. They heard the call. And perhaps for a time, they didn't understand the calling, like Moses. When he tried to fulfill the calling by beating up an Egyptian, all he had for his efforts was one stinking dead Egyptian. But God revealed to them his plan for their lives in due season, which was their role to perform in their hour. And when they stepped out in faith and obedience to their call, in every case, their brothers didn't understand their role. And so they persecuted them and rejected them because they misunderstood them. But needless to say, they endured because they knew who they were and they knew their role. And they knew that their father had called them for that role out of a vast family of brethren. And so they were mocked. They were made fun of. And their life was filled with the lonely trail that they had to bear by themselves. But once God their Father saw that they were obedient to the heavenly vision, he crowned their ministry. He crowned their sonship. He crowned their role by calling them up even higher. And once God crowned their ministry, their obedience as sons, he took them off the scene and he called them home to rest. And I know we're all waiting for a rapture, but God's waiting on us. Brother Ram said that. He said, God is waiting on you. It's not you waiting on God. God's waiting on you. He's called you. He's told you. He's coming for adopted sons. We all know it. It's time you live up to it. And we know that this predestination to the adoption of sons, spoken of in Romans 8, Ephesians 1, Galatians 4, Hebrews 1, Hebrews 3, Hebrews 7, shows us that not only the pattern of behavior is predestinated by the seed we receive, as Brother Bram said, if Son of God's seed is in us, we will produce in our body Son of God life. For Brother Bram said that Jesus was the example seed or the pattern seed, but also the very path that leads us to the pattern for adoption is predestinated by God. The pattern is what we are to be conformed to, so the pattern is predestinated in us, and so is the path or the trail of adoption the trail of adoption. So in all seeds, are its attributes and characteristics, they're already in there. If you plant watermelon in the ground, you're going to get watermelon. You're not going to get a wheat. And if I plant a watermelon seed, I know that I'm looking for something that's kind of big and green, has some stripes, nice and watery on the inside, pink on the inside with a little white rind around it. It's going to weigh about so much. It's going to have a nice smooth outer skin, nice texture. You know, I already know what's going to come up. If the water hits it and the sun hits it. But the Bible says that they won't come to the light lest their deeds be proven. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. But he that cometh to the light, what is he? He's a son of God. He's a son of God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your light. We thank you for coming down in this hour with a message. We thank you for ordaining William Branham to be that obedient son. And yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, just like your son Jesus did. And we know that's the way we've got to come. Because in our flesh, we're just not so obedient just because we want to be obedient. Sometimes it takes your hammer upon us. And so, Father, we ask that we be very, very sensitive, Lord, that it doesn't take a big spanking, only takes a little spanking to get us to line up. And it doesn't take a whole lot of spankings, it just takes just a little talking to. Help us, Father, to become what you saw us before the foundations of the world. Help us, Lord, along that path, because we know that as soon as we become obedient to the call, then our brethren don't understand our call. And so they begin to harass us. They want us to conform to the church. They want us to conform to them. Joseph's brothers didn't like it because he was different. They wanted him to conform to them. And then when you begin to vindicate his role in the family through dreams and visions, that even irritated them more. And they wanted to kill him to prevent those visions and dreams from coming to pass. Yet he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And he fulfilled each of those dreams and visions which you gave him, which were encouragement that he might understand more fully and more definitive his role in the family. So, Father, help us to step into our call, that you might be able to begin ministering to us in a supernatural way, because that is a pattern. And showing us more definitively who we are in this hour of the great time of adoption. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing that song, "The Lord Bless Thee and Keep Thee. The Lord Make His Face Shine Upon Thee." Numbers 22.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make His face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.
God bless you all and greet our guests tonight.